Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Nityai Gora Hari Bol 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 Nityai Gora Hari Bol Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Satara Sata Sisimati Divine Grace Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Prensi Kohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Gaura Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, text number 29, and then we'll read also text 30. So text 29 I'll read by myself according to instructions, and we'll read together text number 30, number 29. Etau tau parsa dat asya sapa jatav asad gatim punaha katipayai stanam prapatsiete ha jamma bihi. Translation. These two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. So please remember this verse, because we will get back to it later during the purports. So remember this, that text 29, these two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. In text number 30, we'll read call and response. Deva uchuhu. Nama namaste kila gyana tantave. Stitao grihita mala sattva murtaye. Destyahato yam jagatam aruntudas. Tuat pada bhaktya vayam isa nivrittaha. Please chant. Ladies, anybody? Namo namaste, rajagyatantave, stita grita mala satvata murtaye, distyahato yam jagatam aruntudas. Tvat pada bhaktya vayam isa nivrita. Ladies. Namo namaste kila jagyatantave. Tita gritimala satvat namurtaye. Tvat pada bhaktya vayam isa nivrita. Namo namaste kila jagyatantave. Stita grihita malasatmutare. Yahato yam jagatam aruntuda. Tuat pada bhaktya vayam isha nivrita. Okay, word by word translation. Devaha, the demigods. Uchuhu, said. Namaha, obeisances. Namaha, obeisances. Te, unto you. Akila gyagyatantave, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Stitao, for the purpose of maintaining. Grihita, assume. Amala, pure. Satva, goodness. Murtaye, form. Distya, fortunately. Hataha, slain. Ayam, this. Jagatam, to the worlds. Aruntudaha, causing torment. Tuat pada, to your to your feet. Bhaktya, with devotion. Vayam, we. Isa, O Lord. Nibrita, have attained happiness. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The demigods address the Lord. All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon who was a torment to the worlds have been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The material world consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But the spiritual world is pure goodness. It is said here that the form of the Lord is pure goodness, which means that it is not material. In the material world, there is no pure goodness. In the Bhagavatam, the stage of pure goodness is called Satvam Visuddham. Visuddham means pure. In pure goodness, there is no contamination by the two inferior qualities, namely passion and ignorance. The form of the boar, therefore, in which the Lord appeared, is nothing of the material world. There are many other forms of the Lord, but none of them belong to the material qualities. Such forms are none different from the Vishnu form, and Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. The sacrifices which are recommended in the Vedas are meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In ignorance only, people try to satisfy many other agents, but the real purpose of life is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. All sacrifices are meant to please the Supreme Lord. The living entities who know this perfectly well, are called demigods, godly or almost God. Since the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, it is his duty to serve the Lord and please him. The demigods are all attached to the personality of Godhead, and for their pleasure, the demon, who was a source of trouble to the world, was killed. Purified life is meant to please the Lord, and all sacrifices performed in purified life are called Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness is developed by devotional service, as clearly mentioned herein. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Gyanangyara Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my eyes with torch-like knowledge. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto him. Okay, so I know this class is a little short. Also, I have to go and teach at the Bhaktivedanta Academy today, and I have to be there for class. So I'll try to say a few words so you can get an idea as to what this is all about, because some of the of you folks here, you're just coming up. You just got a brand new body very recently, you know. I mean, you just got back to this planet for some reason. I don't know where you guys come from, but you are somebody, because in order to be at the Bhaktivedanta Academy as a student of that school, you must come from somewhere from previous lives. I don't really know where you are, but I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are very special people. So I'll try to say a few words so you understand this, so you can go on your journey. Very important pastime here, this Lord Varaha pastime. So, you know, verse 29 says, let me explain one thing. So you will learn this once you get to Mother Shyam's class, where she teaches literature, world literature, and so on. You will learn that there was a Greek playwright who discovered, not that he invented it, he just discovered that the way to produce, to write, and to create dramas or dramatic storytelling or tragedies, and today we have films or videos that are using this theory, which is that all plays, and Mother Shyam will tell you this when you get there to his to her class later on in a few years, that all plays basically are built in three acts: Act One, Act Two, and Act Three. Yes. I'm sorry. No, there are three acts: one, two, and three. Right? Act One, Act Two, and Three. Now, in film theory, we also understand that between Act One and Two, there is usually an element of surprise. And between two and three, once there are other actions that happen in Act Two that evolve the action to a climax in Act Two, and then that climax has another surprise, it's a reversible surprise that nobody expects, and then we have the conclusion of the story, basically. So keep that in mind. I'll keep it very simple like that. So three acts. So now, this wasn't this. He just discovered this truth, this axiom, which is in the Vedas, and it's in this story of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Lord Varaha, and it has a purpose. So the first act, who can tell me where it starts? We read it on text 29. Anybody knows? Where does the act one start? It starts with text 29, two personal assistants to the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. So you probably know the story. This is how the play starts, the play of Lord Varaha. There are four children that go to Vaikuntha. These are the four Kumaras, and they were the sons of Lord Brahma. But they were great sages. They were not just regular children, just a little bit like you guys. So they were just great sages, and they go to the doors of Vaikuntha, and they are stopped at the door by the guards and say, "Who are you? Why are you here? You're not supposed to be here." And then the sages, the four Kumaras, they curse Jayan Vijaya, the guards of Vaikuntha, to take birth in this material world. Now, Lord Vishnu, who resides in the hearts of everyone, he understood what was going on. He rushed to the gates to save his devotees. And here is where we have the introduction of the hero of the movie, the hero of the play. And that's Lord Vishnu. He's always the hero. So he comes, and then the whole story of Varahadev is the way that this story unfolds, so that the hero goes through his journey and reaches a conclusion. Because he now, Lord Vishnu has a little problem here. The problem is that the four Kumaras have cursed his devotees, and he needs to save them. So he's trying to devise a play, a form of a way to save his devotees from the material world, which the material world, believe me, is really not a nice place to be. Now, you folks now, you just got here, so you say, "Oh, wow, this looks like a nice place. You are at the Bhaktivedanta Academy. Wow, it's a beautiful. We are in Florida. It's not too cold. The weather is not too harsh. You know, you have prasadam on your table, so everything looks very nice right now. But just wait until you get a little bit older. And there are these other these modes that we call goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right now, you are pretty much into this, trying to figure out how it all works. And the mode of goodness is more prevalent in the younger ages. But once you grow older, you'll get to find out that there is something called passion and ignorance. And there is something that is very strong in the mode of passion is very, very strong. And you'll eventually get to experience that. So it's not, as I say, you'll realize later on that the material world really is not a very nice place to be. So you want to, you know, Lord Vishnu realized that, well, this situation is very difficult. I need to save my devotees. And this is the story, that Lord Vishnu wants to save his devotees from the fact that they have been cursed by the four Kumaras, you know, and to come to the material world, you know, that's a very terrible curse. And says, well, we got to do something. So that's the beginning of the story, which keeps unfolding. Now, all the stories, including movies or theater, they have different scenes that advance the plot, so to speak. So So we have that the plot continues and the demons take birth because we have the story of Kasyapa and Diti where they unite at the wrong time in the middle of the night when they were not supposed to and so on. That's one of the other stories of the Bhagavatam that gets a little bit out there. It's a little bit racy. And then these devotees take birth as demons because they were conceived at the wrong time, so to speak. And now these are not ordinary personalities. Hiranyaksha was a very, very, very powerful demon. I mean, he was huge. Imagine how huge he was, that he was able to take all the gold from planet Earth and was able to send the Earth. I mean, this is a small planet in one sense, but it's still huge. We live on this planet. This is still a very big planet. And he was able to throw the planet down into the ocean. In other words, it just took all the gold from planet Earth. Imagine, that's a very powerful personality. Big muscles, big guy. Bit, you know, it's like you really couldn't confront him. In fact, the demigods were terrified of him and ran away. They didn't want to fight Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha went even to one of the top demigods, Lord Varuna, and said, "You fight with me." And Lord Varuna said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm a little too old already. I'm a senior. I can't fight with you." And so he couldn't fight with him and said, "But if you go to the bottom of the ocean, you'll find somebody that can fight with you." So he runs away, and then he reaches the bottom of the ocean, and here we have the first surprise. There are always two main surprises in any movie that constitute the plot. And the first surprise, this is the first surprise, is that nobody expected it, that the hero of the story, Lord Vishnu, would be here to confront Varaha as a boar. Nobody expected it. It's a total surprise. It's like nobody thought about it. And then we start the second act of the play, which is this not fight yet, but kind of Hiranyaksha trying to get hold of Vishnu in the form of Varaha, and Varaha trying to save the earth from the ocean. This is the second act after this surprise. So Lord Varaha didn't want to fight with Hiranyaksha yet because his main job was to save the earth from the ocean, to put the earth in a safe place. And of course, here we have the important thing in a play and in a movie, which is the significant other or the romantic relationship that between the hero and the consort of the hero. And in this case, it's Bhumi, the earth. And as we have heard in previous lectures, that Bhumi or Bhu is the consort of Varaha and is depicted like that in some of the temples in India as well. So Bhumi, the consort of Lord Varaha, and Lord Varaha very gently picks up the earth and brings the earth out of the ocean of devastation. So that is second act. There are different stories and different scenes that happen that increase the climax to the point where after Lord Varaha puts the earth in its proper place, then he wants to have a fight. So they get into this mood of fighting. And then they have these different insults that Hiranyaksha did to Lord Varaha, and they get into the fight. And so they are fighting, and the spectators who identify with the character who is Lord Vishnu, they are all afraid that Lord Varaha would lose because this is a very, very strong, powerful demon with big, big muscles that is attacking Lord Varaha. And they didn't know what was going to happen. And the demigods are totally afraid. What is going to happen? What's going to happen from us if Lord Varaha doesn't overcome and kill this demon? And so there is a big fight. And then there is this moment when Hiranyaksha throws a trident to Lord Vishnu. Very dangerous trident, very strong. It's like, could crush the three worlds. It's like really, really powerful. And it's just coming right towards Lord Varaha. I mean, everybody, all the demigods are like crying, like, "Oh my God, what is going to happen?" Nobody knew what is going to happen. But Lord Varaha very gently just brushed with the martial arts kind of kick, kind of deflected the trident. And then, and this is when we come to the real part of the story, to the second major surprise of the movie, and I hope you can stay here to hear this, because this is the main thing that you need to remember about this story. Because if you remember this, then you will understand farther, finer concepts in a spiritual life. And that is that Hiranyaksha was very, very, very upset that his trident didn't work. So he went towards Lord Varaha, and he tried to crush him with his arms. Now, as I said earlier, this is a very powerful person. This is Hiranyaksha. He's huge. And all the demigods are totally afraid. The spectators of this play, they are like, what is going to happen? Oh, my God, he's really going to kill Varaha. He's going to kill Vishnu. He's like, they are totally afraid. And then Hiranyaksha embraces Vishnu with his powerful arms about to crush him. He's just about to crush him. And then he realizes the second reversible surprise of the movie. Actually, one of the greatest surprises in any movie, in any play, in any story, in any possible conceived notion, which is that when Hiranyaksha embraced Vishnu, then he saw with his, to his own surprise, that Vishnu was outside of his arms. He was crushing, but he was crushing what? Nothing, air, materially. Why? Because Prabhupada is saying here on the text number 30, he said, it is here said that the form of the Lord is pure goodness, which means that he's not material. In the material world, there is no pure goodness. In the Bhagavatam, the stage of pure goodness is called Satvam Vishuddham. Vishuddham means pure. So in pure goodness, that's the essence of Lord Varaha, which means it's not material. So what are the ingredients of the goodness? Let's see if you know that. We recite it every morning here now during Kartik, during the Damodar prayers. Who can tell me what the ingredients are of this pure goodness? It's on the first line of the Damodarashtaka prayers. Yes, but what is the essence of that form? Namami swaram sachit ananda rupam sachit ananda. So in other words, that the pure goodness is made with these three ingredients, sachit ananda. So, and that is the what we call the second reversible surprise, which leads the action towards the climax, which is that when the demigods see that, everyone gets surprised. So remember, if you can remember this story of Lord Varaha, and you remember that Varaha could not kill, Hiranyaksha could not kill Varaha because he didn't have a material form, now you can get closer to understand other pastimes that will come later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, including, finally, the pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis. You can't really get to the pastimes of Lord Krishna and the gopis unless you understand that the Supreme Lord is not of this material world. That is beyond. You got to understand, this is why we have these stories, so that we get little by little to the understanding that God is beyond our own conception, is a total surprise. It's a total surprise. It's beyond what we can conceive. So, Lord Varaha at this point, realizing that he had revealed who he was, he said, okay, time is up, time to go back to Godhead, and he killed Hiranyaksha, just with a slap, just like that. They didn't have to do like a major fight or anything, just with a slap, just kill him. And so that's the end of the second act, and we go into the third act, which is usually the conclusion where everybody rejoices themselves, and the demigods, Lord Brahma and the demigods, they are all rejoicing, and they are all obeisances and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Varaha, and everybody is happy ever after, so to speak, until the next demon comes up. So I know that you folks have to go pretty soon. You have a few more minutes for questions? Okay, so we'll stay here a few more minutes, and we'll come back. Since you have a few more minutes, we'll talk then again. This purport by Srila Prabhupada, which we just said that Lord Varaha is made out of this pure goodness, and that there is no contamination of the two inferior qualities, which are passion and ignorance. So everyone in the material world is subject to these three modes. Eventually you'll find out what the other two modes mean. But passion is very, very strong. It's like, but it's very necessary in order to continue the creation of the species and to continue the, you know, to have this other part of the creation of God existing. So we do need this passion and ignorance, but it can create problems, and that's what brings you down to the material world, so to speak. Now, in order to, and then we'll end up here because with this class by saying that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that there are many other forms of the Lord, but none of them belong to the material qualities. Such forms are non-different from the Vishnu form, and Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. So if you perform sacrifice, then you will be able to understand these concepts and you'll be able to get out of the material world yourself, because you are offering sacrifice to Vishnu, and you won't be able to be touched by these two inferior qualities, two inferior modes of passion and ignorance. So we have the great boon in this day and age that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-different in one sense from Lord Varaha, that he has devised a method by which we can actually transcend the material world without killing any demons, without using his Sudarshan chakra. This is the method of chanting of the holy names, that just by chanting the names, and that we had this beautiful class last Sunday by Mahatma Prabhu on the chanting of the names. If you can chant the names, he was saying exactly, which has come out of the Shikshastaka prayers, with love and devotion, that one can transcend the modes of the material world and go back home, back to Godhead, just by showing our love towards God, towards Krishna. Because by showing our love, by having, manifesting this love through the chanting of the names, that's why we chant here Hare Krishna mantra. When we chant, and when you chant your japa with that love and devotion, with that intention, then all of these layers of passion, ignorance, all these modes, they just fade away. And we obtain pure goodness ourselves. Once you get to pure goodness, then you can go back. You qualify to go back home, back to Godhead. So goodness is very important. A lot of people think that, well, you can reach goodness by classical music, you can reach goodness by art and so on. And you know, there is that discussion that they had with Srila Prabhupada, on beyond the shadow of a doubt, or dialectic materialism book, in which he is explaining that, yes, you have to reach to the mode of goodness in order to transcend the material world. That's what we are trying to do. But the process this day and age is by chanting the names of the Lord, because if you don't put God in the middle of your goodness, of your art or your music or your poetry, then it becomes material again. That's the nature of it. That's what happens. So anyway, we'll stop right here because I myself have to go and teach a class and I have to prepare the computers and all that. So any questions? We'll have about 5 minutes. Go ahead. Wait a second, let the microphone, use the microphone, please, so I can hear clearly.
You said that Hiranyaksha is so powerful that he threw the earth into the ocean. So does that mean there's an ocean below space?
There is an ocean that is in this universe. Yes, there is. There is a huge ocean, the ocean of devastation. There is also, of course, there is a water beyond this earth. Yes, there is. In fact, without getting too deep into this, but probably when you get to science class with Dr. Banks, he'll teach you that the belief of the scientists is that there is a water beyond that is way up there. There is a universe of water, yes, there is. Even the scientists, this is what is taught in physics, high schools and in college. And in fact, the water that we have in this planet was brought here. According to the scientists, they claim that the water was brought in asteroids. And that some of this water that was very coming down from this ocean out there, way out there in the universe, the water that was coming down with such force that Jupiter, they claim, Jupiter took some of the impact of the asteroid so it wouldn't crash the Earth. Well, we have a similar story here. The real story is that Lord Vamanadev hit the edge of the universe and the Ganges was flowing, the water was flowing down from the outer edges of the universe. That's what we believe, right? And it's the same as the current material scientific theory that the water is coming down from the outer space. And then don't think of Lord Shiva like a person like us. Lord Shiva can take many forms. He can take the form of a mouse, or he can take the form of a gigantic planet or a universe. It's the same thing as what we heard from the story of Hanuman in the Ramayana, that he would be able to become like smaller than a mouse in order to get into the Garden of Lanka. So the same way Lord Shiva took a huge form, it could be that his head could hit, could be Jupiter, I don't know. But the fact is that the scientists, they do have this concept that the water that we have in this planet came from outer space. And in a sense, the water of the Ganges, if you ever go to India, and I'm sure you will, when you go, if you go to the Ganges, you'll see, you touch that water. The first time I touched the Ganges, I said, whoa, this is water is not the water that I'm used to. This is something else. What is this? Every time I would touch the Ganges, I was on a boat, and I was touching the water. I thought, all these, my past lives, they were just coming through. All whatever I've done in my life, whatever, all these memories, all these activity that it was in my mind was coming through. So eventually you'll experience this. When you go and touch the Ganges, you'll see it's not ordinary. That's not because it comes from the spiritual world, was touched by the lotus feet of Vishnu. So yeah, there is an ocean out there, I'm sure. Question, another question?
After Ramanadev ruptured like the edges of the universe and like Ganga came through, how did they like fix it?
How did what? Like stop Ganga from How did it stop? What the water was stopped? Well, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, was that it fell on the head of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva took it on his head.
How did they stop it from like keep coming?
No, it still is coming. It doesn't mean that it's not coming. The Ganges is always flowing. It hasn't stopped yet. It's coming from the water is coming from the Himalayas, but where does this water from the Ganges really come from? It's the mercy of Krishna, very special water. That's why in India, everybody, you touch the water, believe me, you'll feel that there is something in that water that you haven't experienced in the material world. It's very special. Yes, very respectful to the Ganges. Also the river Yamuna, because it was touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. Very special. I hope they clean it up soon. Okay, any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much for listening. You have been a great audience. Hope the teachings help you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari bol. Hari bol.